Do not touch these 10 foods if you have diabetes. Those 10 foods are on the next board, but I need to give you a foundation first to understand why you shouldn't be consuming these 10 foods. So what do people know about diabetes? Well, does it really start off as pre-diabetes and then you have type 2 diabetes and then you have type 2 diabetes with complications and you get, you know, your feet amputated? Or is there something that comes before that? Well, there's something that comes before that. It's called insulin resistance. And insulin resistance brews in the oven for about 15 to 20 years, even before you become a pre-diabetic. Unfortunately, if you look this up in Wikipedia or even ask any of the medical professionals that are mainstream, you're going to get this information. Well, we don't know exactly what causes insulin resistance, but I think it relates to obesity, inflammation, having a sedentary life, being inactive. It could be genetics. It could be that you're just getting older. It could be your hormones. Or it's probably excess calories, right? This is what they keep saying over and over and over again. But there's a very large elephant in the room that they're not talking about. I've done a lot of videos on the relationship between consuming a lot of sugar and diabetes, and that is definitely one big major cause, because the chronic consumption of sugar, refined sugar, especially fructose over time, is going to constantly spike blood sugar and insulin, because insulin follows blood sugar, sucking out the sugar out of your bloodstream as you put it in. And then over time, the receptors for insulin start becoming blocked. Okay, so then insulin doesn't work anymore. And then you can't let fuel in from the chronic consumption of sugar. And to try to make this simple, which I'm always trying to think of ways to simplify it, if you just picture you have two little pieces of this puzzle, you have the entire cell, and then inside your cell, you have the mitochondria, which is an energy factory. And on the surface of the cell, you have a membrane, okay? And this membrane is a fat membrane. And it has to do with a reactive glue fragment, sticky thing, molecular superglue that gets lodged in these receptors and then just blocks the communication. But also, it gets lodged in this membrane inside the mitochondria. And the reason why it gets lodged in there is that these membranes are like a layer of fat. Well, this thing is also a fat. And if you've already guessed seed oils, you are correct. However, if you ask mainstream about this, they're going to show you some references that these unsaturated fatty acids actually can reduce diabetes risk, which is true. And they'll also show you the reference and randomized controlled trials. If you switch out and take out the saturated fats and put the unsaturated fats in there, you can actually make insulin more sensitive. How can that be? I'm saying something completely the opposite. Well, what they're talking about and what they're using as examples is unoxidized unsaturated fatty acids. They're using non-damaged, cold-pressed oils. They're not talking about the rancid oxidized oils, the stuff that you're buying at the grocery store on a daily basis, the stuff that's in your refrigerator, the stuff that is actually in your pantry. This is the stuff that people buy. They don't buy cold-pressed corn oil or soy oil. When they go to a restaurant, they're not getting cold pressed or undamaged. They're buying something that is so altered from the original seed. And so the way that 99% of the population consumes these oils in a form that has already been refined, it's been bleached, actually with bleach to take out certain colors, and it's been deodorized to take out the rancidity and the different smells, at a temperature of 527 degrees. So just think about that for a second. You're going to take this highly unsaturated oil and you're going to refine it. You are going to create so many byproducts that are generated from the heat and the other chemical processes, because the byproduct is aldehydes that ends up locking up your proteins and creating irreversible damage in the insulin receptor itself and in the mitochondria. You got an average person that consumes over 25 to 30% of all their calories being seed oils. And what I didn't realize until recently is these byproducts, these aldehydes, are not just being produced from the chemical process and then we consume them. They're being produced after they're in your body and they're sitting in your membranes for a period of time, and then there's inflammation, and then you release the aldehydes deep in your cells. What I'm trying to communicate is when you have damage in the mitochondria and damage in the receptor, you basically block this communication line. Now the insulin signals do not work anymore. And so now the fuel can't go in. And this is the start of all of these metabolic diseases, which I've done videos on. Alzheimer's, we get diabetes, we get a fatty liver, different mood disorders. When we're talking about seed oils, we have to talk about the state of that fat. Is it cold pressed and fresh, or is it rancid and sitting on the shelf? But not only that, when you go to a restaurant and you look in the back where they're cooking things, they're deep frying things, how many times you think they're reheating that oil? Is it just once and then they throw it out? Is it twice? Is it three times? You're talking weeks and weeks of reheating that oil. Every time they reheat the oil, you're adding more aldehydes, more byproducts, more fragments of super glue to that food that you're consuming. So it's setting you up for a very serious chain reaction of things that happen in your cells. You know, I looked up the regulations on how often a restaurant is supposed to change out their oil. There's no regulation. It's completely unregulated. You could pretty much use your own judgment, keep reusing that seed oil over and over and over. I'm talking about the corn oil, the soy oil, the canola. Yes, we have the chronic consumption of sugar, but the seed oils are a massive driver of not just type 2 diabetes, but many other diseases. What you're going to have is an overcompensation of more insulin to penetrate that resistance. So we get this feedback mechanism where your body's really dumping out a lot of insulin, but of course it's never checked. Doctors don't check a fasting insulin. They check your glucose. So the glucose is going to be normal for many years, but you're going to have high amounts of insulin. And then the pancreas is going to work harder and harder and harder to produce all this insulin to the point where the cells that make the insulin are just going to get too tired. And that's the beta cells that get tired, and then they slowly stop making insulin. And now there's nothing to keep the blood sugar in check. And that's when the blood sugars go up. A normal blood sugar should be roughly around 80, which is equivalent to one little teaspoon of sugar in all of your blood, which is 5 liters of blood. So our blood can only tolerate one tiny little teaspoon, despite an average person consuming between 81 and 131 teaspoons of sugar, if you calculate all the hidden starches and all that. On top of all the seed oils, you can now see where the big problem is. The three ingredients in most junk foods, ultra-processed foods: refined sugar, refined starch, seed oils. So now let's get into the 10 foods that you must not consume if you want to avoid diabetes. Okay, food number one you should avoid: fast food fries and fried chicken. Here we are dealing with reused oil, which equals those byproducts, those aldehydes, plus an animal that has been consuming a lot of omega-6 grains, combined with the starch, is a compounded problem more deadly than the seed oils. When you combine starch and oil together, you create even more destruction to the little cells and the receptors of your body. I mean, just think about, like, on the kids' menu and regular restaurants, there's always this fried chicken. Then on top of that, you also add flavor enhancers like MSG, which also makes things worse. Let's go to number two: restaurant deep fried anything. If you go to any restaurant, you should never consume anything fried, because they're not going to be using coconut oil or other healthy oils. And you have to realize that the seed oils are very, very unstable compared to saturated fats. Like cooking with tallow or even lard is much safer. And also cooking with monounsaturated fats like olive oil, it's much safer. It's the unsaturated fats that are very dangerous. And don't forget how many times they reuse the oil. Unfortunately, growing up, I only ordered the deep fried foods at restaurants. I did that for many, many years. So that's why I'm doing this presentation, because I got really, really sick. All right, number three: chips, crisps, and corn
chips.
Now we're combining starch with seed oils. Okay, again, a deadly combination. And then we throw a little glyphosate, which is an herbicide, in there. Just not healthy. Oh, and I just need to pause for a second. I created a free app called Dr. Berg Junk Food Meter that allows you to scan any food to quickly get three things in a visual form. The refined sugars, the refined starch, and the seed oils.
Now let's get back to the video.
Number four, donuts and pastries. So here we have a combination of sugar, starch, and seed oil, all three all together, deep fried. The worst of the worst. And I remember one time consuming, and I'm not kidding, 12 donuts in one sitting. I am guilty of consuming a lot of these seed oils. Number five, sweetened drinks. Now we're getting high fructose corn syrup, energy drinks, the hidden sugar in iced coffee syrups. And what's unique about this is the high fructose corn syrup might not even cause you to gain weight, but you're going to develop insulin resistance in your liver so quickly. Since we're talking about diabetes, you need to know that. Number six, frozen breaded foods like the nuggets and the fish sticks. Boy, I used to live on those in college. So again, we have seed oils, we have starch, and of course we added protein in there as well. You see, if you just consume sugar by itself and not combine it with the oils, you might be a little bit better. Or if you consume just the oils without the sugar, you might be a little bit better. But of course, who's going to actually just take this and start drinking it, right? It doesn't really taste good unless you add some other things to it. Number seven, commercial salad dressing and mayo. Wow, it's really hard to find any dressing that doesn't have seed oil in it. And also any mayo. Now, there is some mayo that has avocado oil, but most of it is like rancid when you taste it. So it's not very fresh. And I can taste rancidity really easily, and I won't consume that. So I highly recommend you just do extra virgin olive oil with maybe some balsamic vinaigrette. Number eight, instant noodles. Okay, they have seed oils in this and also starch combined, not to mention flavorings and monosodium glutamate. Number nine, granola. Tons of seed oil, tons of sugar. What about the protein bars and cookies? They're made with a lot of vegetable oils, sugar, and starch. And then number 10, microwave popcorn. You add the vegetable oils with that, plus you're having the starch with other chemicals under heat. These 10 foods I would highly recommend to avoid if you have diabetes. Now, what's interesting about these aldehydes is there's a way to detoxify them. Okay, in addition to avoiding these foods, if you consume foods high in carnosine, you can help detoxify them. What food would that be? Red meat. Grass-fed red meat is loaded with carnosine, can help detoxify aldehydes. The exact food that they tell you not to consume, you need to start consuming more of that. Sulfur-rich vegetables, onions, garlic, broccoli, polyphenols, green tea, dark chocolate, and pomegranate. And now that you know what to avoid, the next topic is, what should you eat? And for that information, you should watch this video right here.